ABC Blinds Spring Sale is on now, where you can get 40% off roller and Roman blinds, 30% off outdoor blinds, plus heaps more. You know what else is on now? This Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast.
There are so many holes in this story, and I have so many questions that I think we have to accept are going to go unanswered.
Okay.
So a friend of ours who used to live here in Perth and she now lives overseas, right? She's living overseas and she gets a phone call this week from the West Australian police, which is an alarming thing when you get a call overseas from the WA police.
It's an alarming thing when you get that call here.
Yeah,
let alone them taking the time to go,
get
in touch.
They've given her a call because they found her stolen car from 5 years ago.
Wow, okay.
5 years ago, she had her car stolen from outside her house in Perth, and it just never came back. And so the insurer paid her out, and she went 13 long weeks without a car while they looked for it and then went, okay, it's obviously gone. Okay. So the police have contacted her to say that a man has gotten in touch with them. A man in Perth has got in touch and said, oh, I've got this car, and this car's been on my property for 5 years.
Okay.
5 years, this guy's had a car sitting at his house. He says two guys just came and dumped it there one day and never came back for it.
Right.
Okay, now so...
Okay, well, yeah, as you say, lots of holes. Okay.
Two guys have dropped off a car at his place. They've never come back for it. This chap has even paid $600 to get a key cut for it so he could drive it into his sea container. And he's just stored it inside his sea container for 5 years.
Waiting for these guys to
come back and get the car.
Okay. And this is where questions really start to pop off.
You're not Inspector Clouseau, buddy.
No.
It's pretty.
So two dudes drop a car off at your place. Yes. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know who they are. And you go, well, they never came back for that car. And then spend $600 of your own money to get a key cut so you can drive it into a sea container and then store it in your sea container for 5 years.
Yeah.
Did I mention he's had it for 5 years?
Oh, five years.
5 years. And he said he tried to report it to police years ago, but they didn't file a report.
Didn't they? Right. No, because they don't, do they, when you report a stolen
car? No, why would you?
Why would you? Yeah.
I mean, the car is in great condition. Low kilometres.
It's
been protected from the elements.
That's right.
It's avoided the harsh Aussie sun and the rain. It's in great nick. The insurance company's taking it back because
we've aged more than that car, haven't we?
How can that be? How is this a thing?
I don't know. I mean, like, you know, even to take him on his word that his story and every you know, piece of his story is true, what are you waiting for?
Are you waiting for
them to come back? Like, how long are you waiting until you go, they're not coming back? I don't know what this car... Why are you storing the car?
Yes.
Like, why?
Why have they dumped the car at my place? Who are these people? Why am I storing it? Why did I spend $600 to get a key made so I could drive it into a container?
Yes, and that's, if you're going in with the story of, I don't know these guys, then you're doing a lot of things to help them out, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
For people you don't know.
Yeah.
I find the story fascinating.
That's
I don't know how it's come about, but I read it this morning with my friends on my friend's account and I just went, I can't understand this. But I thought, why don't we just ask you, tell us the story about when something just turned up years later.
And things do come back. People get back wedding rings that they've lost or bits of, you know, important jewellery that 40 years ago disappeared.
Yep, something that's gone missing or been stolen or whatever and it's just turned up years later.
All right.
What's going on, Rita?
Okay, about 6 years ago, I run a pilot business and one of my subcontractors, his car broke down, so he hired one of my vehicles. Then he wouldn't give the vehicle back, so I reported it stolen. About 5 months ago, I had a phone call to say from the WA police that they have found my vehicle. 6 years it's been gone.
Wow.
And so no idea where it's been?
Well, I do now. Apparently it was parked in a shed and the house has been sold. So the new people had contacted the police to say that all this stuff, it was stolen stuff. It was a druggie's house by the looks of it. And there was a side gate where the car had gone through into a barnyard shed, so no one could see it from the road.
Right.
There was a trailer there. There was a prime mover across the road. So we went over and asked the guy if he could use the prime mover, shift the trailer so we can have a look and see if we can get into the shed.
Yes.
And when we went there, he said, I remember that car getting dropped off. I remember it getting put into the shed. I remember the cover getting put on top of it. Oh. I remember the guy that did it.
Wow.
Wow, mate. That's insane.
Oh, my God.
Far out. What is going on?
Jasmine, good morning.
A couple of years ago, I was at work and I specifically remembered, I created this memory in my mind of putting my brand new Ray-Bans in the staff cupboard before I started my shift.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find them ever again. Well, until about 2 months ago when I sold my car, I found them in my glove box. But I'd actually accused all the staff members who I was really tight with of stealing them.
Oh, no.
We were really close-knit, and I ended up resigning not long later with a really bad taste in my mouth.
Mm. Oh, no.
And I haven't admitted to them yet that I found them.
Jasmine, how do you not go into your glove box for 2 years in your own car?
It was pretty deep with some stuff in there. So I sold the car, and that's the point that, yeah. I've got some brand new Ray-Bans now.
Oh, Jasmine. I think you need to go and make contact one day and say, oi, sorry about that.
Oh, wow.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, mate. What turned up years later?
So I had this hamster about 25 years ago when I was about 13. And I named him Houdini when I got him because on account of his escapism.
Right.
he managed to get out once again, and this time I just couldn't find him anywhere. So I got rid of his cage and everything, and that was it. He was gone. So about 6 months later, I was having like a clothing clear out and that, and I pulled my sock drawer all the way open, and he was living in the back of my sock drawer.
Oh.
Alive!
He was squatting. Alive. He was squatting, basically.
Pete, Matt and Kimber's My Kimber Rules.
Oh, f***ing hell. What's she doing?
With Hart & Co. on Mix 94.5.
That ad keeps making me laugh because I'm worried it's what people will actually be saying at the dinner party. Hosting a dinner party for listeners.
Yes, you are.
The old Mix family going to get you in and cook you a 3-course meal. Which is going to be a massive challenge because I cannot cook.
No.
I don't cook, and I'm going to give it a crack. So we've been asking you to send your entries in to mix.com.au to the win page, just saying, have you got a foolproof recipe?
Yeah.
Something that you could teach me how to cook. I'll come out to your kitchen, you show me how to do it once, and then I invite you to dinner and I try and make your dish the best way I can.
And Kimber, just to allay anyone's fears, when they come to your place for that dinner, they will sign a form, won't they? Basically, making Mix not responsible for anything that may happen
to them.
Yes, okay, good,
of course,
good.
You know, it's a rough one.
Yeah.
And look, I'd love to see some more entries. I've got quite a few entrees, so if you've got some like mains and desserts
that you can't stuff up.
That I can't stuff up. Mm-hmm. Really looking forward to those.
Mm-hmm.
So send those in and you could be coming to dinner. But I'm nervous because A, I'm cooking dishes I've never cooked before.
Yes.
And I know someone's gonna teach me how to do them, but I only get one shot at it.
Mm.
And I'm worried that like if I stuff it up, like if I burn it or I do whatever I do or I miss an ingredient or I do something wrong, there's no dinner.
No.
Like, I'm going to have people sitting around a dinner table watching me cook. The dinner table is near the kitchen, so you can see me stressing out and losing my mind in front of you, and then there'll be no backup food.
I mean, as a kid, I've eaten burnt food that my mum or whatever has burnt.
Scrape it off.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Or the bottom of the pan, you've got the black bits in the stew or whatever. There's no way we're throwing it out.
Is that a hard rule? Like, we're not allowed to order pizza. We're not allowed to get
to a dinner party and have a backup. You're expecting the person to provide your meal.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't deliver on that expectation.
I mean, I don't know what could go wrong. To be honest, I've not had a cooking catastrophe because I don't cook.
No.
I'm sure that I could set the oven on fire. Yeah. I could do a bunch of things. Yeah. I've never had to face it.
I'm confident you're going to experience this quite soon.
Have you had a cooking catastrophe?
Oh, look, I've had a lot of fails. I remember as part of my year 12 camp, we went to Mandurah and we had to cook for each other. And I, even at that point, thought of myself as quite a good cook. But when I turned to go back into the kitchen, all of my mates threw it in the bin. Oh. Without eating any of it.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so it kind of looked too good.
I set the kitchen on fire once.
Did you?
Set a kitchen on fire.
That was fun. Well, not a kitchen, our kitchen. No, now look, don't get me wrong. I don't know. Like,
I'm worried because Rick Hart has very kindly said, yeah, come down and just, you know, work in our kitchen. And now I'm like, he might not want me there.
I don't know where I read this, but I was convinced that when I was about to microwave a particular piece of, as part of the recipe, you had to microwave some bit of food, right?
Mm.
And I was convinced that I read somewhere in the recipe that you had to put a paper towel over the top of said bit of food.
And wrap it in alfoil.
While you're zapping it.
Yeah.
Right.
So I've put it in there and I've hit the button and I've gone away.
Yeah.
And then I've gone and done whatever I've gone and done, but it only took a little bit. And I turned around and came back and I could start seeing smoke coming out of the microwave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then smoke turned into flame.
Oh, wow.
And then flame started going up the cupboard. And then it took off from there.
Oh,
and
really?
I like ran over like, you know, water on it and all this. I got the flames out and the stuff. And yeah, you can't put paper towel in a microwave.
Kids.
Also, God, I really hope that doesn't happen. Because I always forget the rule of like whether you're supposed to put water on it or not.
Well, you wouldn't have thought so
not
around
on oil,
an electrical
right?
device either.
And not on oil. Is that right?
Oh, no.
No, water and oil,
no.
Yeah.
Don't mix.
But other fires, water's okay.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not even going to throw that out.
No,
okay,
no,
so
no.
I'm sure.
And well, this is how you end up with a cooktastrophe.
Within a kitchen, it's about extinguishing.
Okay.
Right, and that's why kitchens should, you know, have a fire blanket.
Right.
So you can throw it over said
jeans
know,
and joggers. Can we please arrange a fire blanket
I've
for my cooking
that
night?
Thing about the
thank
paper
you.
Towels.
Yeah, don't forget about the paper,
paper towel.
Towel.
Okay.
Yeah. We had a fire blanket that, after that.
Tell me about your cooktastrophe.
Oh, I like it. Oh. I even like the name cooktastrophe. Great.
Want to know about
choice.
Your cooktastrophe? How it all went horribly wrong. Anita in Leeming, tell us about
Morning,
your cooktastrophe.
I nearly burnt my kitchen down, but the fire blanket saved the day.
Ah.
At the time, my young son said, Mum, let's cook some chips on that stove. They caught the whole oil caught fire. And I thought, oh, my goodness. So I threw the fire blanket over it. Then my neighbour comes over and then she says, let's look under it. And then we ended up getting the fire extinguisher and trying to put it out under the fire blanket.
It was still going under the fire blanket.
Yeah, it was still going for ages. So because we kept peeking at it, we were adding air to it.
Yes.
Oxygen, so it kept going. And she said, let's put the quilt over it. Let's do this over it. I'm like, no, let's just ring the fire department. So they saved the day. And then she, like, got my little baby out of the cot at the time. And we're all standing on the front and the fire engine's going. And that was my story.
Just for some chips.
Just for some chips that my son saw on Play School and said, let's make them.
Oh, there's a fire in there. Joe in Mirrabooka, tell us your cooktastrophe.
It wasn't actually me, it was my son. He was about 13, I think. We're about 13, 14. He decided to fry some eggs in the shell in a deep fryer.
Oh, in the shell?
Yes, but what happened, as they were cooking, they exploded.
Yeah.
He actually had no shirt on, so he actually got burnt all over his chest from the hot oil.
Oh, God, that's awful.
And so does he have, like, because that burns and that can scar, and if you've got a hairy chest, that can also take that out as well.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
He's pretty good. He was lucky because he went straight under the shower and he never got scarred at all, really.
Okay.
Mm. Wow.
Gee whiz. All right.
Carolina in Yokine, tell us about your cooktastrophe.
Hi. My cooktastrophe was that I gave my family food poisoning by cooking prawns. That was eight.
Amazing.
I know. It sounds horrible, but I was in trouble and I thought I'd redeem myself and I found some prawns in the fridge and I thought, great, I'll cook family the dinner and I'll make it, you know, everything better. And my dad was like, what prawns did you get? Or where did you buy them? I said, they were in the fridge, in the paper bag and the wrapping. And he was like, that's prawns. And I was like, oh, what kind of prawns? Fishing baits. And I was like, okay.
Oh,
everyone ended up sick. But you know what? I'm a really good cook now. So
Yeah, of course.
I
learned mine.
Wow. I haven't even considered how hard it's going to be to prepare meat or anything like that, that you could give people food poisoning.
Yeah.
Rebecca in Joondalup, you've got one?
Yes, good morning. My cooktastrophe was I decided one night that I was going to cook tacos.
Yep.
I thought I would do a cheat way, and instead of putting them in the oven like a normal person, I decided to put them in the toaster. So I put them in the toaster and pressed the button down and went and sat in the lounge, and then maybe about a couple of seconds later, I looked to the kitchen and I just see all the kitchen in orange, and I was just like, oh my God, ran over to the kitchen and the toaster and the tacos were on fire. It had caught fire with the blinds, so I was running around the kitchen trying to figure out what to do with it, because obviously you can't put electrical items in the water. So we upended the toaster into the sink with the tacos, and it was, the toaster and the tacos were completely ruined. So it was
imagine, Rebecca, if you came up in that moment and you thought, how can I put this out? I'll put the sauce in through the taco.
And you know what, Rebecca?
I believe that would have made it a lot worse.
Yeah, I know.
Don't feel bad. I had one of my old co-hosts thought that it would be a good idea to put sausages in a toaster because he thought it was the same as like a vertical toaster.
Oh, yeah,
and all the fat
grill
caught fire.
Oh,
and
God.
It just, so, no. You know.
Oh, no.
Tacos at least closer than sausages.
Yes, it is. Oh, at least it's a carb.
Justine in Southern River, good morning to you. What's your cooktastrophe?
Well, believe it or not, it was 2 minute noodles.
Oh, really?
This is like my kind of level of cooking.
So I had my oldest daughter now. She was interested in 2 minute noodles. She asked me for them. I put them in the microwave like I normally do for 2 minutes, and then went to get them. She came out to me, actually. She goes, where's my 2 minute noodles, Mum? Are they ready yet? And I went, oh, I'd forgotten. Gone and got them out of the microwave, opened the door, and there was black smoke everywhere. Oh. I'd forgotten to put the water.
Oh.
Had you put in a little sachet of flavouring in there as well, though?
I had. Yes, I had, but no water.
Oh, really?
So my microwave was black right through, and it was ruined. I had to throw it out.
Wow.
And needless to say, no 2 minute noodles that day.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Oh, well done, Justine. Thanks for your call this morning.
I've got so many flaws, but I am aware of them. I think I'll give myself that. You know, there's a lot of people walking around who aren't aware of their flaws.
Yeah.
Like I am aware of mine, and I know that I'm a walking contradiction, and I think most of us are.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Any one day you can be pulled up for being, you know, contradicting yourself. And, you know, in some ways I'm quite laid back. You'd be like, oh, that's a new lump. Shall I go and see the doctor? No, don't worry about it. He'll be all right. But God forbid you ask me to go and find a parking spot in a busy Coles Saturday morning car park.
I'm going to lose it right now.
So
I don't think you'd be alone there.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But I realise what I do. And there's a wonderful old saying, which is a coward dies 1,000 deaths and a hero dies but once. And I embody that. I really do. I psych myself out for things long before anything has happened.
So you haven't even left the house yet.
So the classic one. So I borrowed my father-in-law's trailer again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I've had issues with this trailer running away from me, right?
Yep.
But the biggest stress is the backing out of the trailer, which I can do.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But for days before I get the trailer, I'm already thinking about the situations that I might or might not get into with this trailer where I'll have to back it out.
Like what?
So this is what I mean by I'm dying these 1,000 deaths without it ever actually happening.
Like just stressing
out. So stressing out. So my beautiful neighbours, I said to them, oh, I'm going to have this big trailer. Would you mind if we parked and sort of basically blocked you in for 12 hours? And they were great. They have their car parked elsewhere. It doesn't matter. Fantastic. So I pull in to my driveway and there's someone there, you know.
They've got like a visitor.
They've got a visitor, you know. And I'm like, oh, no, no.
I'm
going to
lose it right now.
Right? So then, horrible
because you did not plan for this in the last 4 days of stressing out.
I didn't plan for it. It gets worse, Kimber. I live on a street that happens to have a school nearby. And at school pickup time, my street becomes that Coles car park.
Oh, I'm going to lose it right now.
I'm trying to back the trailer out. Not only is that stressing me out earlier, but it's now I'm having to slalom through, you know, mums in SUVs, basically, let's be honest. And I can barely get out and I am losing it.
I'm going to lose it right now.
And I'm aware. I've got the windows up, thank God, in the car, you know, because I'm in there going, oh, bloody hell, what are you doing? Oh, no. You
know, like, and because it's like when people, when you're trying to parallel park, yes, and someone's watching you and suddenly it looks like you've never driven a car before.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, my friends, and this is why I have to learn. Did I get that trailer out? Yes. Did I back it out into quite a tight space quite well? Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did all of those things. When the crisis occurred, I handled it quite well. And yet I spent 4 days as the coward dying 1,000 deaths thinking about that moment that I actually handled.
Oh, are you going to learn from this?
No.
Not today. Not today. Not today.
Oh, well, don't play a song that's going to get me in the mood for walking on sunshine.
Well, this was the sort of mood that I was in the last couple of days.
Sure.
When we did have sunshine. Beautifully sunny day. Yeah. Yesterday, it was the same the day before. Spring had sprung. Guys, I was officially here for it. I'm not going to lie. And you guys know that I've long held that my favourite season is actually winter.
Hmm.
I'm a layers bloke. Like, I like to put layers on. I don't like the uncomfortable, you know, things that sunshine and a lot of warmth bring because there's only so many layers you can actually take off and you're still sweating.
Even with those guns.
Yeah, the gym bod, I'm surprised you haven't changed your mind.
Well, guys, you can't have them out all the time. You know?
You know, oh, well, you seem to.
People get this, well, that's a fair point.
Sorry.
No, that's fair enough.
I was like, for a dude who likes to wear a lot of layers, I'm trying to think about this whole year of Pete coming to the studio going, I haven't seen a lot of layers on him, have you?
No. Anyway, carry on.
Right. Muscle tops.
Look, I was ready to get rid of winter. I was.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Like we all were. My backyard was flooded. My clothes weren't drying. Mm-hmm. You, Kimber, had water coming in through everywhere.
Yeah,
you,
Maddie, coming out everywhere.
Right, coming out everywhere. You were like brushing water out of your garage that sort of stuff. Seemingly endless rain. Kids had cabin fever because the only response to "Can we go to the park today?" was "No, we can't. I'm sorry, kids. The sky is falling." So I was ready for sunshine like everybody else. And like I said, I've had 2 days of it, and I've had my fill. So I walked into Mila's room the other day, and I was standing there. It was totally silent, like this, like beautiful. Yeah. Sun blasting its way through the window, splashing across the bed.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And then a single solitary sound broke the air.
Oh. Yep.
Okay.
My old mate.
No, not the mosquito.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Blowy?
It's a bloody blowfly. It's a blowfly.
Gee, they're stupid, aren't they?
They are so stupid.
There was one in my house the other day, and it was literally going from the window to the mirror because it didn't know which was the brightest source and just bouncing off and just hitting.
They do.
Bang, bang.
They do.
Bang.
They bounce.
Bang. Yeah. What a fool.
I caught the bugger, right? And I thought, I'm not going to let this get me, okay? All of a sudden, I went outside and I was greeted with the cesspool of a backyard that my backyard has now become.
Yes.
Dust everywhere, weeds throughout the lawn that I spent thousands of dollars on and all sorts of other stuff trying to get cultivated and nice. The last time we had sunshine and plenty of summer and all of that sort of into autumn, getting it absolutely perfect. And there are weeds that grow into things that I don't even know how they get there. Like, how does a weed come out of the side of the wall of your house?
Aren't they incredible?
They're amazing.
Yeah.
But also a pain in the ass. And I thought, I can't deal with this. I'm going to go out the front. Went out the front, stood there, took a deep breath in, just trying to enjoy it and get the other stuff out. And what do I smell? Old mate across the road who'd just dropped a whole heap of fresh manure because it's that perfect time across all of his beautiful garden. Yes. Thought, I have had it.
Well, that'll draw a blowy in. Hey, guys, hashtag free Britney. So we've been following the story of Britney's conservatorship for a while now. Obviously, it was something that I was mostly unaware of. I knew that she'd gone through some, what seemed to be from the outside, fairly significant health issues, mental health issues, and that she was under this, you know, the charge or the care of her father. It turns out it was called a conservatorship, and she's been fighting recently to get that taken away from her. And her father, James Spears, has now filed to say, I want out, pretty much, mm-hmm. after 13 years.
I want out, but I do want you to pay me out.
Yes,
I want few million dollars for the trouble.
Absolutely. Now, we did talk about this last time, and he's been viewed as the sort of bad guy or one of the bad guys in all this. And maybe when in the wash-up we'll find that he was just someone trying to do the best for his daughter. I don't know.
Mm.
What I do know is that despite the fact that conservatorships have clearly got a pretty bad name through this story, I'm thinking for me personally, it could be just what the doctor ordered.
You'd like one.
Well, I...
Why? Yeah,
well, okay. I mean, for example, I did my tax finally.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told you already, the accountant was just looking at me like, you flog. Like with my filing system and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm clearly not good. I try. I've got like a set of... I didn't nick them. They were offered from here. These little trays that you can put all your paperwork in.
Oh, yeah.
I nick them, yeah.
Definitely nick them.
And I have been shoving things in there, but where and when they're from, you know, who knows. But I'm thinking the idea of having someone who just says, Matt, you just do you. I'll control. Now, my wife would probably say she's already doing that.
Yeah, right. I will control all the finances and do everything, and I'll give you some pocket money now and then.
Yeah. And tell me to go, Matt, you got a gig at Mindari this weekend. Just turn up at 8, do your set, and then come home. Okay, great. I love
being they can manage your back catalogue of hits from your hood.
Yes. Oh, I just think, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater is all I'm saying. There could be something in there.
How good was that Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast? There's heaps more available on the Listener app. And there's heaps more amazing deals on blinds, awnings and shutters available at the ABC Blind Spring Sale on now. 6, 7, 4, 5, 5.